Begin the current Dav, Masechtas Baba Kama, Dav Samach Dalet. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous Dav. And that is, we had opened up this Perek Merubah, discussing one area that's greater the measurement of Kefil than it does apply to the Halach of Dalet Behe. That is, the Halach of Kefil is when a thief gets caught with what he stole. He has to give back not just the principal, but also double that amount. That's what's called Kefil. Then there's a unique halacha, which is if he slaughtered or sold it, specifically if it's a shor or a seh, then he has to pay four or five times the amount, depending if it's a sheep or an ox. So we find a greater measurement of kefil, which applies whether it's a living thing or even an inanimate thing, in contrast to dalvahe, which only applies to shor b'seh. Now, that the Gemara quote on the previous daf, two different brises that disagree regarding a series of three psukim in Shemais Chav Beis, Perek Vav, Zayin, and Ches, where the halacha there talks about that of a ganav paying kefil. Now, both agree regarding one pasuk that's talking about toin tainis ganav. That is, the halacha of a thief paying kefil is not just for the actual thief, but a shomer, a watchman, who tries to exempt himself, when let's say he's a shomer chinam, by saying that it was stolen from him, and turns out it wasn't stolen from him, he was lying, he had it all along. So then he also has to pay that penalty of kefil. So one tana says that one of the two psukim are talking about the ganav itself, and the other one's talking about toin tainis ganav. Whereas the other one says, no, that both psukim are talking about toin tainis ganav. So the Gemara had asked, so the halacha qualification of kefil that we know it applies to, as our Mishnah says, b'medavish yesh b'ruachayim, b'medavish im b'ruachayim, as long as it's davar hamataltal, it's a movable thing, and gufei mamon, it's intrinsically worth money, there'll be the halacha of kefil. So we know, according to the Tana that says, one pasuk is by ganav, one's by toin tainis ganav, we know the source for both of them. But according to the one that says both psukim are talking about toin tainis ganav, in other words, when a guy claims it was stolen from him, but not the thief itself, how do you know that by the thief himself, the halacha of kefil applies, and that the parameters are exactly, as we said, by toin tainis ganav, regarding dav hametaltal, a movable item, but gufei mamon? So that's where the Gemara brought in, according to that Manda Omar, you have to learn it out from, as the Tana Bechizkiah taught it from a few psukim before that, in Pasuk Gimel, which it talks about a regular ganav. So it says, Misharat Chamarat Sechaim Shnaim Mishalim, which the Gemara, as we continue on to the top of this Amid, went through to show that it's learning from a klal prato klal, which is a general statement, a specific and a general. And why do you need all those specifics? Because if you would have had one, you would have thought it's only this qualification, and you would have said it's only this qualification. By having all of them, it teaches you the halacha of kefil by dav hametaltal v'gufei mamon. That was the brisa. And that Agamar continues and says, Amamar. Agamar goes through to elucidate and clarify this klal prato klal of the Tan Bechizkiah, which again is the source for the halacha of kefil for the ganav himself, according to that Tana the Brisa that says that those two psukim in Perek Vav and Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin are both talking about toin tainis ganav, and therefore you need a source, and therefore it's brought from an earlier pasuk, as the Brisa of the Bei Yishmael is teaching. So the Brisa had started off of Tana the Bei Chizkiah by asking a question. Yimer Shor Geneva, the pasuk should have just said that if a person steals an ox, it should have just said the term ox, and theft, and then everything would have been included. Why do you have to say chamor? Why do you have to say seh? Why do you have to say chamor? Why do you have to say all these different terms? So the Braisa went through and showed, oh, because you would have thought only this, you would have thought only that, and by saying all these things, these specifications, it ends up teaching us this halacha of even anything that's movable and gufei mamon. That's how the Braisa started off. Now, that the Gemara asked on the Braisa's question, Miksiv Shor, is the first thing in the pasuk mentioned the word ox, and then the geneva, and then talking about the concept of theft? Had it said like that, which are the words that the Braisa says, then that would have been what's called prat uklal, a specific, which is what shor is, which is, sounds like only if you steal a shor is there kefil, and then a klal, a general statement, which is geneva, anything that was stolen, which that, we know what's called prat uklal, then everything gets included, because the last klal is what's called meisav ala prat, it's coming to add on, says a specific, then you say a general statement, it's adding on, which then the halacha is, then everything would be included, which was the way the Brayis was asking the question. What do you need anything else for? Say the prat and klal, and then everything would be included. The problem, asked the Gemara, is, geneva v'sher hu dichsiv, it doesn't say it in that order. The pasuk reads, im himotze temotze biyode hageneva, mishar, and then it goes on to say everything else. That is actually a klal uprat. And that halacha is that ein b'chal elamasha b'prat, meaning then you only get the specific itself. which tells us that Halacha Keva would only apply to the theft of an ox and nothing else. So what's the Braisa's question? Saying, say, only sharing an Eva, you would have known everything. You actually wouldn't have known anything. You actually would have said that only share would be included. So therefore, what's the Braisa's question? So the Gemara says, now, v'chitam and if you're going to say, no, ilu nema kama. The Braisa was saying that if it would say share first, and then Geneva, then you wouldn't have to write any other the specifics because you would be including everything. Then that would be what's called the Prat Klal. And therefore the Bryce's question is, so why isn't it written like that? Why say it Geneva first, then Shur, and all the other specifics to have a halacha? Why? You want to include everything? Say Shur and then Geneva. On that asked the Gemara, Ilu Nemar Shur u Geneva? Is that how you explain the Bryce's question? That had it said Shur and Geneva, then I would have included everything else? But then asked the Gemara, Umi mitzisa amrit, but then could you say what the Bryce does say? That the Bryce says, whoa, no. If we had only had written Sharing and Ava, the Braisa says, no, we wouldn't have known everything from there because we would have said Mahaprat Mefurish. We would have said, no, the specific would be only like Shur, which is brought on the Mizbeach, and that's what it does to all the specifics. Say, no, had it written that, I wouldn't have known everything. Now, on that, the question is, had it written Shur and Geneva, that would have been a Prat Uklal. And therefore, the Braisa then has a very valid question. In other words, what does the Braisa go back and answer? Well, Elu Kain, had we written it like that, then we wouldn't have known everything because we would have thought it's only what's like similar to the specific. What do you mean? Have a Shur Prat Ugeneva Klal. You would have had a specific, which is what Shur is, and then you would have the term Geneva, which is a general statement. That's Prat Uklal. That's a specific, then a general. Nasa Klal Maisavala Prat. So the general statement is adding on to the specific. V'yisrabel who called mili, that it would have included everything. It doesn't have to be ke'ena prat, it doesn't have to be similar to the specific. That's by klal prat to klal. When you have a prat and then a klal, it includes everything. So then if that's what you're saying, the Braisa was asking, oh, had it said it like that, because it can't be the way it was really written, because then it would have been only shur. So you're saying, had it written for a shur, then geneva, and then the Braisa said, which would have included everything, the Braisa says, no, then we would have said like ke'ena prat. What are you talking about? Prat and klal includes everything. So Ella rather says the Gemara, what are you going to say? Kedachsiv kamri. That what? The way it's written? That's what the Bryce is asking? That would have been enough? Which is Geneva Vishur, which is having the first the term Geneva then Shur? Then what do you mean? Then we don't understand the Bryce at all. What was the question that was being asked? Well, what do you need anything else? Just say Geneva and Shur. Geneva and Shur? Geneva Shur would be teaching you nothing but Shur. Or how do we understand what the Braisa says when it then responds back to the question by saying, oh, that's not a question. Ma prat mefurish, that, no, we wouldn't have known everything else because we would have said it has to be like the specific, which is what Shur is, but the question that Gemara is asking is, neither of these two points, the question or the answer, makes sense. Havale geneva klal b'shur prat, if it is as it's written, because we said the other way wouldn't work out either, which Geneva is a general statement and Shur is a specific, that's klal uprad, that's a general and a specific. Ein b'chlal elamasha b'prad, the halacha of that yud gimel midrash atar nidrash behen, tells you that actually the general statement that says first is only exactly as the specific that was mentioned, which is Shur in midachrin ilai, which is only ox and nothing else. And nothing else is being included. So how do we understand the question or the answer? The question doesn't make sense. How could you be including everything? You can't. And neither does the answer make sense, which says, no, we would have said only thing something that's similar to the specific. And we wouldn't have known everything. Which, what's similar? Something that's brought in the Mizbeach. What do you mean? Klal Prat, not even what's similar gets included. Nothing gets included. Only Shur is the only thing that would have the halach of Kefil. So rather, Amar Rava, Rava explains it differently than the simple literal translation of the Braisa. It says, Tana Achaim Kasamachle. The Tana, the Braisa of Bechizkia, was actually relying on another word there in the Pasuk of the word Chaim. In other words, although all along the Tana, the Braisa was only mentioning Geneva, oh, just say Geneva and sure that would have been enough. And all throughout it keeps on saying, oh, so what do you need Geneva for? Which is the general statement coming to include something more. I know it's from this specific or that specific. It doesn't say anything more, but on that, Rav is explaining that although he says only the word Geneva, which is a general statement, which was the first klal, he's relying on, although he's not saying it, on the word Chayim, which is a general statement, doesn't say which living thing, it says any living thing, not like a Shur, Chamor, etc., which are specific living things, which is the last general statement, and he's darshaning it And the Tanna Bechizkiah is telling us in the context of Klal, which is what Geneva is, Prat, which is what Shur and all the other ones are, and Chaim, which is another general statement. Now, Rashi forewarns a question, although as we quoted on top of this Amid from the previous daf, that the end of the Brisa says, wait a second, when it keeps on going through all the different Pratim, what do you need this one for, what do you need this one for, it says, okay, so say Geneva, Shur, Seh, Chamar, and everything would be included. And therefore, ask the Brisa, what more, and the thing is, as we're explaining according to Rava, the word Chaim is obviously, although it's not mentioned throughout, is intrinsic from the beginning to be the Klal and Prat the Klal. So, therefore, Rashi says, what's the Gemara's question? So then don't say anything more, and I would have known everything. You're right, there is nothing more. Because the way you simply translate, as we did on the top of this Amid, from the previous daf, was that it was a forewarning Chaim. What do you need Chaim for? But what do you mean? Chaim, according to Rava, was throughout always necessary to Klal Prat the Klal. So on that, Rashi says that actually, that question at the end of the Brayt says, we'll see later on the Gemara, is actually not on Chaim, it's actually on Imhimatzi Tematzi, which are the first words of that Pasuk. Imhimatzi Tematzi Bioda Gneva, that is, as the Gemara will ultimately conclude, it's just that the Gemara interrupts for the halacha that the way Rav is interpreting with a different question and doesn't let him conclude his interpretation for a different question. But that problem is addressed ultimately at the end of the Gemara because it's actually not going on Chaim, because yes, that would be necessary for the Klal Prat the Klal, and if that's not superfluous, it's for warning, so what do you need Himotzi to Motzi for? But that's the way Rav is explaining it, not as a just Gneva and Shur, but Gneva, Shur, and Chaim, Klal Prat the Klal. And that was the Gemara's question. That was the Brisa's question, which, okay, so you have Klal Prat the Klal, so you know everything from that. And that was what the Brisa answers. No, then I would have known only what's similar to Shur, which is Kena Prat, which is something that's brought in the Mizbeach, and so on and so forth. Now, but the Gemara asks a question on Rav's interpretation, but you cannot compare the last general statement, which only includes, although it's a general statement, it's not saying a specific animal, but only includes types of living things, it's not comparable to the first general statement, which sounds like anything that's stolen, Geneva, even something that's not a living thing. So now the Gemara answers, that's not a problem. This is like the Tana of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, who is brought at the end of Perek Elo Treifis. The Kai Gav Nadarsh Klal Prata, he makes such a Klal Prata Klal that as long as they're general statements, even though they're not the same type of general statement, you could still make a Klal Prata Klal. Now, so therefore, Rava concludes. It says, V'hochi Kokashale. So this is what was bothering the Brisa of the Bechizkiah at the end of the Brisa, which is different than the way we were reading it on the previous daf, on the top of this Amid, which sounded like it was concluding with a resolution. The way Rava interprets the Brisa, which again answers the question we had asked from Rashi just before regarding what else was extra, not Chaim, because Chaim obviously was included in the Klal Prat the Klal. So what was the last question that was forewarning, which actually according to Rava, the Brisa remains with a question, was Im Himotzei Ti Motzei, the first words of the Pasuk, if found, it will be found, which sounds like it's an inclusionary term, no matter what is found, meaning by the ganav, that he has to then pay kefil. Lamali, why do I need those words for? What are they coming to tell us? Now the Gemara concludes now, and now Rabbi sums it all up. He goes through the whole Brisa to show us how to interpret the Brisa based on his new interpretation of that it's a klal prat the klal, and that the Brisa actually ends off with it, obviously not regarding Chaim, because he's again saying that that's intrinsic to the limud of the Tanna Bechizkiah, which is not mentioned in the words, and therefore the last thing that's ended up saying is actually regarding him imimatzi tematzi, which then the Tanna Brisa ends up with a question. And this is how Rabbi explains the Brisa. Yaymer Shur Geneva v'Chaim. It should have said Geneva, Shur, and Chaim b'kol b'chlal, and then everything would have been included, because then you would include whatever is Ke'ina Prat, similar to the specific of Shur, which is something that's movable and intrinsically worth something. And then you would have known everything. What do you have to say? All the other things of Chamar and Seh, etc. So says the Braisa, Ilu Ke'ina Yisayim, had it been only like that, I would have said, Ma Prat Mefurish Devakar V'Gav Mizbeach. I would have said it has to be like the specific, something that can be brought on the Mizbeach, which a Shur could be sacrificed as a carbon. I would have thought to say that the halach of kefil, the penalty by the ganav, also implies only to something that's that high status of something that can be brought in the mizbeach. Now, but then, and this is how it changes according to Rav's interpretation, then this is the question. So, ma yesh lehevi, so what would you be including then from this ke'ina prat if it was something that's similar to show that specific that's only brought in the Mizbeach, I would have said Seh. That would include a sheep, which is also brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. But Kishu Oimer Seh, but then when the Pasuk says, and it says it explicitly, sheep, Sarei Seh Amar. So the Pasuk already says regarding a sheep that there's a halach of Kefil. So Amana Mekam Geneva. So then what am I learning out from Geneva, meaning from Geneva and Chayim, which is the halacha klal prat klal, which comes to include things that are similar to the prat? What are you learning that's similar to Shar? Brought on the Mizbeach? That's Seh. Seh is already written in the Pasuk. Must be, says the Braisel, the Rabbis called Davar. Must be that's not only specifically brought on the Mizbeach, because that already, I know that, the Klal has to be including something more than that. It's coming to include everything. Now, but on that, the Braisel continues and says, well, Yeme Geneva v'sher b'seh v'chayim ha'kol b'klal. So say Geneva, which is one bookend, one Klal. Say Chaim, which is the other Klal, the other bookend. And Shur, as we said. And Seh. Okay. Then everything would be in Pakol B'chayim, everything would be included. Why do you have to say anything more? Says the Brai. So Ilu Kena Yisrael, had it been like that, I would have said, wait a second. Ma Prat Mefurish Dava Kaddish B'Bechayra. I would have thought to say that, no, that still the specifics are including, including something, more than what's written over there, something that has the sanctity that its firstborn has a Kedushas of Bechayra, which has to be given to the Kain. I've called Dava Kaddish B'Bechayra. So I would have thought to say, okay, only things that are similar to Sharon Seh should have Kedushas Bechayra. Now, Mayash Lecha Lehevi. So then what would you be including in that? Chamor, that would be including donkey, which is not written, but would be included because that also has Kedushas Bechayra. Now, Keshuayim Chamor, but then when the Pasuk says explicitly donkey, Hari Chamor Amar already says donkey. So, Haman and Mikhaim Geneva. So, what am I including from the Klal, Prat the Klal, for which is the general statement of Geneva, to include? Must be Lurabis called Dava. Must be it's coming to include everything, not just something that brought in the Mizbeach, not just something that has Kedushas Bechayra. Now, but if that's the case, ask the Braisa. Yemer Geneva, okay, so fine, say Geneva, Bishur, Biseh, Bechamur, Bechayim, which is the other Klal, Vakal Bechlal, and then everything would be included. So what's the question? When we had originally learned this Braisa on the top of the summit, we learned the question was, so what do you need Chayim for? Now, according to Rav's interpretation, that can't be the question, because he always is using Chayim, although it's not written in the Braisa, because that's the other Klal, to say the Klal by the Klal. So rather, the Gemara's question is, according to Rava, so im himatzi ti matzi lamali, why do I need himatzi ti matzi? What's that coming to include? And that is what the Brice is answering, according to Rava. Ilu keinu yisayim, had it been like this, the way we are saying the pasuk, I would have said, ma prat mefurish bali chayim. Still, what do we see from the specifics? It's, they're all animals. So, av kol bali chayim, so too then I would be including from the klal prat klal, things that are similar to that, which are living things. That's why you need imimatzi to matzi to say that you're not going to learn the klal prat klal from Geneva and Chaim. Rather, from imimatzi to matzi, which as Gemara later on is going to explain, what you do is, although imimatzi to matzi is written together in the beginning of the pasuk, and usually a klal prat klal is you have the klal written, then the prat, then the klal, as you have by Geneva and Chaim in that pasuk. Still, as we'll see, that what you do is you, as if you insert the pratim in between the word himatze and timatze, which are the two bookends, the klalim, and then you'll stick in the pratim in between them. So that's why you need himatze timatze to include all of the things that are davim matatl of gufim mamin, because had you only learned it from Geneva and Chaim, you would have said that only something that's similar to kena prat, which are living things. But then, and this is how Rava learns it, the Tana of the Bechizki ends off with a question. Wait a second. Mayesh lecha lehevi. What would you be including from the klal prat the klal? Shar bali chayim, other living things. Now kishu oim chayim, but when it ends off with the word chayim, saharei, but then you have chayim, mommy, you have living things already said. In other words, from the pasuk, you explicitly see that it already includes all living things, not from the klal prat, because you don't need a klal prat to tell you. Living things, the word chayim itself includes living things. So then, what do I need Geneva, the klal, prat, the klal, to be including? Don't tell me living things. I know that from the word chayim itself. Must be l'rabbis kol davar. So therefore, says the Tana b'Chizkiya, must be that Geneva itself, those bookends, are coming to include everything. Things that are metatl and gufi mamin. So then the question is, imimatzi t'matzi lamali. So then the Tana b'Chizkiya ends over the question. So what do you need? Imimatzi t'matzi. What's that in the pasuk coming to include? Which sounds like ribuyim, inclusionary terms. What's it coming to include? I already know the halachas of kefil, of dav metal, of guf imamin, just from Geneva and Chaim. Because it can't just be l'rabbis bali chaim, because I know from the word chaim itself, which includes living things. And that's how the Braisa concludes regarding this halacha. Now, as we continue on to Amud Beis, so the Gemara asks, Hihachi, according to this interpretation of Rava of the Tanna b'Chizkiya, Shaper Kashalei. That's a pretty good question. So what's the answer? How do we understand the Pasuk? So that answers the Gemara, no, you do need Im Himatzei Tematzei. Mishum, because if you would be learning the halacha of kefil, of qualifying it from Geneva and Chaim, to expound them as the klalim, for the klal prat klal, the isle pircha, there is a question on, it would be a flawed klal prat klal. Why? Because l'rabas kol davar meheicha k'maisila. From where are you coming to learn to include everything, meaning not just things that are living things, but even things that are metaltel b'gufei mamon, even non-living things, where do you know that from? Essentially, and this is a fundamental principle in the understanding of klal prat klal, and from klal prat and prat klal, you know it mechlal basra, from the last klal, which that's the teaching of af kol, which teaches you, also everything that's similar to the prat, not just what's in the prat itself. Now, the question is, klal gufei chayim ksivbe, the last klal, which is what comes to is the inclusionary klal, is itself written that it's a living thing. As Rashi explains in detail, he says, wherever we expound klal uprat klal, so when it says af klal, so to anything that's similar to the specific, it's actually learned out from the last klal. And the reason being is because the first klal, the first general statement, is a mirt, is an exclusionary term. Why? Without that first klal, what would it be? It would be a prat uklal. That is one of the yud gimel midas, which tells you actually include everything, because the last klal is going to add on, which, okay, so everything. Now, so what does the first klal then help when it's now not just a prat klal, that is a klal prat klal? It comes to exclude what's not similar to the prat itself. Now, the last klal is the inclusionary term. Why? Because if not for the last klal, it would be a klal uprat. That halacha is emachal el mashav uprat. When you have that, if you only have a klal prat, you actually only, then the halacha only applies to the specific that's mentioned after the klal. Now, so therefore, you're left with a question, with a pircha. If the last klal, you have geneva, then you have shur, and you have all the different things, then you have chayim. If you're learning it as a klal prat klal, what's coming to include what's kena prat? The last klal, which is the word chayim. So therefore, that's only including things that are like the klal, like the general statement. Oh, how general are you? What are you including? You're kept at living things. So klal prat klal, maika mahani lay, what is it coming to help us? This general statement, this specific, and then the klal, you essentially have no klal prat klal. Because ila suya kol davar, if it's coming to include everything, you can't say it's including everything. Because hochayim siv, the klal itself is limited, it's capped by being a living thing. Balechayim in midachrin yiloh, it only includes living animals and nothing else. Now, Rashi points out, although generally, as we mentioned this on Amen Aleph, that we were saying that the Tanna b'Chizkiya is going like the Tanna b'Shmuel, that learns klal prat klal, even though the klalim are different than each other, but that's only to include at least what you find in the extension of that last klal. But here the last klal is limited to living things, so that can't be the source for the rabbis kol davar metal b'gufei mamon, because it's limited to being a living thing. Says the Gemara, Mishamachi Itzruch Imimotzei. That's why you need Imimotzei Tematzei to be the source, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, to utilize the word Himotzei as a klal, the other word Timotzei as a second klal, and then by inserting the pratim in between there. That's why it's necessary to have the words Imimotzei Tematzei in the pasuk, because that's actually where you can end up learning out the klal prat klal from. Now the Gemara asked, Amri, they said, wait a second, how can you say that? These two words, himatze timatze, are right near each other. How can you expound them as a klal prat klal? We know that generally that's what the halacha is. Klal prat klal is the Torah first mentions a general statement, then the Torah mentions a specific, then the Torah mentions a general statement. Why is the Torah doing this? So that's one of the halacha l'meishu mesinas that tells us the Torah is trying to tell you to darshan kein prat. But here it's not like that. It's klal, klal, then prat. So how are you telling me it's klal prat klal? So Amar Ravina, he says, k'dami b'mai rab, it's like they said in Eretz Yisrael. Wherever you find two general statements right next to each other, so hatil prat, what you do is you take the specific, which is written on the side of them, and you put them beinehem, between the two klalim, v'dunem chlal prat, and then you expound it as if it was a klal, prat to klal. So therefore, shadei shar benimatz letimatzei. So we'll explain to you now how you understand the pasuk, which then qualifies the halach of kefil for a ganav. You take the word ox, which is actually written right after it, and you put it between those two words, lasuyimai. Now, what's that klal prat klal coming to include? If it's coming to include living animals, meaning what's similar to a shor, that mechayim nafka. That you already know from the pasuk itself. The pasuk writes the word living thing. Obviously, it's coming to include something even that's not a living thing. But darash hachin, you expound it as follows: ma prat mefurish davar metal davaguvim mamon. Just like the specific, an ox, it's something that's movable and it has intrinsic worth. I've called davar metal davaguvim mamon. So too, that encompasses to include from the klal protocol anything that's movable and it has intrinsic worth. Now, v'su, moreover, let's go to the next word. Shadei chamoy benimot litamatzi. Now you take the word donkey and you put it between those two words, himatzi tamatzi. L'su yimai. What's that klal product, klal coming to include? Ilasu yudav shein balechayim. If it's coming to include something that's not a living thing, sure enough, I already know that from the first word. I don't need the word chamer to tell us that. Because shar is not just living thing, because that I know from chayim. Se'el lasu yudavim esuim. Rather, it must be coming to qualify even further the klal product, klal, the halach of kefo. That's coming to include something that has a distinctive feature, a sign on the object. That's what's coming to include. But something that doesn't have a davar mesuim, something, an identifying mark, then that's not coming to be included. Now Rashi explains that it's really from the superfluous chamor that the Gemara is making this drasha, not from the essential definition of chamor, because there are many animals, including donkeys, that don't have identifying features. Moreover, Rashi says, because were it to be from the actual definition of the words in the pasuk, then I already know it from Kena Prat of Shur, which is also an animal, and I would also know that Shur has an identifying feature. So it must be just because, why do you need Chamar for? That must be adding on another qualification to say that, okay, must be not just something that Dovim Atal Dabugufim Mamim, but also something that has a Dovim Esuim that has an identifying feature. Now, but the Gemara concludes, Ihachim, but if that's the case, then Sel Amali. What do I need the word sheep for? You ran out of things to coming to include from the words. I mean, I already know from Shur really the basic halacha. So what do you need chamar for? Okay, and add on one more thing. Dove mesuyim. But what do you need seh for? If you tell me that you're learning it from imatzi to matzi, that's not going to include anything. So El Rav the Gemara says, you're right. It's not the way Rava said it. It's not the way we just said it before from Ravina. Rather, Ella says, the Gemara, riba umiyat v'ribuhu. It's actually not a klal prat klal, as we discussed this in the previous daf. Although the Tanna Bechizki makes it sound like it's klal prat klal, Tosfos already explains that it's just because that's a normative way of how the Talmudic terminology is, but really, it's actually learned out from a riba, a miut, and a riba, which those are the two different ways of explaining halachas that are mentioned with a general statement, specific and general. But even according to the interpretation that says, you say klal prat klal, generally in the Torah, would agree that in this context, and now we'll be able to explain the pasuk and the brisa, you're actually going to learn it as a riba mit and riba, which is a general statement, a more of a liberal, inclusive exposition when you say riba mit or riba. Kedetanabei Rabbi Shmuel, as was taught in the brisa of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, because the Tanabei Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the brisa of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel regarding the following pasuk in Mayikra. It says, Bamayim, Bamayim. Pasuk there talks about what type of fish are permitted to be eaten that are considered kosher. So it says one time, toichul kol asher b'mayim, you could eat whatever is in the water. And it also says, kol asher le'snapa v'kaskeze b'mayim, whatever has scales and fins that are in the water. So it says, beis pa'amim, it says two times the word in the water. Now, since these are two general statements that are near each other, and the specifics are not between them, rather it's actually mentioned after them. In other words, what type of water? Those are general statements, water. But then the specifics of what type of water, it says afterwards, it says by yamim and the seas, by nechalim and then the streams and the rivers, which sounds like, if you only had those specifics, that only with seas and rivers, that's where the fish need to have snapa v'kaskesa, scales and fins. But let's say in a pit of water, then that fish actually wouldn't need scales and fins to be kosher. So on that says the Reis of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, ain't a klal prat. You don't expound this as a klal, a prat, and a klal. Meaning to say that you would only include what's ke'en a prat, what's similar to the specific. You don't. And the reason why you don't is actually for this reason, because although Rabbi Shmuel usually learns as a klal, prat, a klal, but that's only when you have first klal, then prat, then klal. Here it's you have the klal and the klal, and then you have the prat afterwards. And rather, you're going to expound it, which is going to be the same thing as our Gemara of Himatze, Tematze, which are also near each other, and rather as a riba or miyut v'riba, an inclusionary term, exclusionary term, and inclusionary term, which that halacha is actually riba hakoil. It actually comes to include everything, which is the halacha of scales and fins of fishes, scales and fins of fish apply not just to rivers and to seas, but actually to all bodies of water. All fish need to have scales and fins. because the words mayim and mayim are near each other. Now, but one thing is that the specifics come to do, so what are they? Why does it say yamim and necholis? That's what's expounded as a term of miut, which comes to exclude a little bit, which is only one halacha and not more than that. Which, as the Gemara elsewhere would expound, what would be excluded from yamim and necholim, but really it applies to all bodies of water. So now that's what the Brayis of Rabbi Shmuel does over there regarding the halachas of kosher fish. And the Gemara brings it back for our Gemara. So my Rabbi, so what do you include then when you have a ribui, meat and ribui, which is what we have over here because the words himatzi, tamatzi are near each other, then the specifics are afterwards. So Rabbi Kalmali, so it comes to include everything, which is anything that was stolen and you caught with what you stole, then you'll have to pay kefil. No, if that's the case, so kolhani prati lamali, then what do you need all the specifics for? Specifics in the context of riba, meat, or riba are mi'utim, they're exclusionary terms. What are they coming to exclude? So that the Gemara explains, which again will get us to the same halacha we've always been defining the halacha of kefil as, which it has to be a dove and a tatl of a gufi mamin. We see that because it says shur, chamar, and se. What are those terms coming to exclude? Chadam ute karka. One comes to exclude land because it's not dove and a tatl, it's not movable. Chadam ute avad. One comes to exclude slaves, which it makes sense to exclude them because they're always compared to karka. Chadam ute shtar. So one comes to exclude shtar is documents, because documents are not intrinsically worth money. So you end up by that same characteristic of that what the halach of kefil applies to. Now Rashi just points out that up until now, the Gemara couldn't have given this answer it's giving now, because up until now we were expounding the Braisa, as seemingly those were the words of the Braisa, as a klal and the prat, which that halacha is that you only come to include what's similar to the prat, which were, shor, chamor, seh, they're the movable items, and they're intrinsically worth money, and therefore, by default, you exclude these things of karka, evet, and shtar. So you wouldn't expound the words themselves, you don't need an exposition of that, because you already know it by default, because it's not similar to the characteristic. So that explains why you need those specifics. Now, gneva v'chayim, which up until now we had thought that those words are coming to tell us, as Rava had said, let's say, which are the klal, with the two klalim, but now we're saying we're not learning this halach of kefil as kala prata klal. We're learning as actually ribu mit ribui, using the words himatze and timatze, and the other ones of shor, chamor, and seh are the miutim, are the pratim. So then, therefore, what are you learning from the words geneva and chayim? That's likud the Rav. That comes to teach a different halacha like Rav. The Amar that he said, achye lekeren, you have to make alive the principle, kein shagan of how it was when it was stolen. Which this halacha of Rav brought on the next daf, where he says that if someone steals an animal, and then it becomes depreciated or goes down in value or gets weakened, by the time that the court case happens, he has to ultimately pay how much it was worth when he stole it. Because it says chayim, which tells you that you have to make it like alive, the principle of what was stolen, that it should be complete and whole as when you stole it. So that's geneva and chayim, that you have to pay for, you have to make the theft chayim. That's what you learn from those words. And that concludes the discussion of the Gemara of the Tana, the Beichizki, which is the source for the halacha of the Mando Amar that says that both psukim later on, the pasuk vav zayin and then ches, which qualifies that, are going on toyin tanas ganav. How do you know the halacha of ganav itself that he's chayiv kefil? And again, specifically in the parameters of davar metal v'gufei mamon. So that's what we brought that price up to bechizki, which is the earlier pasuk there in Shemais, in pasuk gimel, which that's talking about explicitly regarding a ganav. And as we just concluded, as we explained the pasuk of a riba mit riba, which tells us it has to be something davar metal v'gufei mamon to be chayiv on kefil. Now the Gemara resumes that discussion. Okay, and it goes back to the back and forth. So, Ulamanda machad beganav, machad betoyin tanas ganav. According to the other Manda Amar, which we didn't have any questions in him, we had a source for him where he knows Allah of Kevil regarding ganav, because one of those two psukim is toyin tanas ganav, the guy who's the watchman, the Shem, who claims it was stolen from him, and the other one was regarding a thief himself. So we didn't have a question where he knows Allah of Kevil. But now, the Gemara's question is, but now according to that Manda Amar, the ganav atzmoi, nafkalei mi'im yimatzei ganav, where the thief himself, that he's halacha of kefil, and the qualifications of it, you know from the kalaprat, the kalal there of pasuk ches, which is going back on both the halach of ganav and turned down this ganav. So hayim imi motzi timotzi my darish bay. That man the amma, what does he use this pasuk for, which we just brought from the Tanah Mechizkiah, as we finally explained it, that we know it from imotzi timotzi, that comes to include the halach of kefil regarding dov metal deguv imamin. But according to that man the amma, you don't need that pasuk for that because you already know it from that pasuk vav over there, which is talking about the ganav himself. So I think Gemara says mebayi le because Rav Bar Yehuda, you're right, you need it from a different halacha. Dama Rav Bar Yehuda, he says my time of the Rav. What's the reason of Rav, which is brought later on in this parak? Dama that he says meid biknas va'achkach bo eidim pater. If someone admits to a halacha that requires a penalty, and then only afterwards do witnesses come, he's going to be examined. So let's say a guy stole. When witnesses verify that he stole, he has to pay kefil. Which is the penalty? If he admits on his own. And even if witnesses come later, since he was the one that, out of his own admission, admitted to the theft, he only has to give back the principal, doesn't have to give back the kefil, even though witnesses ultimately come. Says Rav Bailoi, what's the reason of Rav? Chsev, like it says in the pasuk, and that's what that mandam is going to learn it out from, im himatzi timatzi. If found, he'll surely be found with the theft in his hands. Now, what the interpretation is im him, what's this, if it will be found, it will be found, what's this repetition? So he explains, if it's found in his hands with through witnesses, that's how it's discovered that he was a thief. Then it will be found the penalty of kefil, which he's penalized bidayanim through the judges. Prat, that excludes lamashias atzma, a guy who incriminates himself. That is, although witnesses even come afterwards, he's not going to pay kefil because he was the one that it was discovered through his own testimony. It's only kefil if imimatze through witnesses, then timatze be'edim. That's the source for Rav Salacha, which is what this manda amma will be using the words imatze timatze for. So the Gemara goes back. Well, the manda metavayi b'tarin tanis ganav, but then according to the opinion, which we were explaining in this past daf, who says that both those pesukim in Vav and Zion over there are talking about, none of them are talking about a thief, it's talking about where a guy claims it was stolen from him. So therefore, he uses the pasuk of imatze timatze mapik leleganav atzma. He used that as a source to tell you the halacha of a thief himself. How do we know that he's chayv kefil and what the parameters are? So mashiach minolan, according to him, where are you going to know the halacha of Rav regarding someone who incriminates himself, that he's exempt now from the penalty of kefil? You can't learn it off of imatze timatze because he already uses it for the halacha of ganav as a ribu mitu ribu and not for imimatze be'edim timatze be'dayanam. So the Gemara says, you're right, he learns it from a different pasuk. And Shemais, it says, Ma'asher Yeshian Elohim, from that which the courts will incriminate him. That's where the pasuk there is talking about regarding Al-Kol Dvar Pesha, regarding the liability of Kefil, which tells you, but V'loh HaMashiach Atzmai, and not someone who incriminates himself. It's only Asher Yeshian Elohim, but not Asher HaMashiach Atzmai. So the Gemara goes back to the other one. L'mando Mechad B'Ganav, Mechad B'Toyin Tanz Ganav, according to that Tana, the Brisa, which says one pasuk is by Ganav, one is by Toyin Tanz Ganav, those two pasukim near each other. The Aisilei Mehimatze Timatze L'Mashiach Atzmai, so he really knows the halach of Ganav for Kefil. So what does he use from Mehimatze Timatze? As we just explained, he uses it to say that only Im Himatze Be'edim Timatze B'Dayanan, which excludes someone that incriminates himself. So Hay Asher Yishin, my Darish Be'e, so what does he use the words Asher Yishin Elikim to teach? It's not necessary for Prat L'Mashiach Atzmai, because you already know it from the exclusion of Im Himatze Be'edim Timatze B'Dayanan. So Amalach, he would tell you, Hahu Mibayilei L'Maid B'Knas Depater. That pasuk is necessary for actually one stage before this. For the primary basic halacha of someone that admits to the penalty, he's exempt, meaning even if witnesses don't come. I mean, a guy who steals, generally we know if he's found to be a thief, he has to pay kefil. On that, the pasuk's teaching, no, it's only Asher Yishin Elohim. If the court incriminates him, if he incriminates himself, let's say if witnesses don't come after that, so then he's exempt. Now, then, once you know that halacha from Asher Yishin Elohim, now that you have the extra pasuk according to this mandama of himimatze timatze, that adds on another level to exempt even if witnesses come afterwards. Because as Rashi explains, had you only had one pasuk, we would have said that's only if witnesses don't come. Okay, then you might have a kenasi pata. But if witnesses come, so fine. The witness is incriminating you, that's going to be make you liable for the kenas of kefil. And that's what the second pasuk is saying, that no, it's only imimatze be'edim, then timatze be'dayanim. But if it's he himself admits, even if witnesses come later, he's going to be exempt. So the Gemara goes back. According to that Tana, that Braisa, that holds both pasukim are talking about turn tanz ganav, ksavar, meid b'knas, v'achach bo'edim chayv. So he would explain to you that actually, the halacha is that if you admit to a penalty and then witnesses come, you're actually going to be liable. So therefore, it's not difficult. He uses imatze timatze for a different halacha. as to teach you the primary halacha of Ganav, that regarding his parameters of Kefil. And he knows from Asher Yishin Lakim regarding if he might be Knas. But if he might be Knas and then witnesses come, actually he would hold that you're going to be Chayiv, and that's why there's no question about, okay, where does he know that from? Because he doesn't know it from the same place as the other one, because, again, he used that pasuk for something else. But the Gemara continues asking, according to the Tanna, the Braisa holds that one pasuk is by Ganav, and one's by Toin Tanz Ganav. The Nafkali Ganav Mahasam, which again, he doesn't learn the, as we would explain in this Braisa of Bechizke in the whole previous daf, that from Imimatze to Matze, because he already knows it from Imimatze HaGanav, which is one of the psukim over there by the Parsha of Shemrim. So Bishlam Imimatze to Matze Lekadirav Bar Eloi, so we understand that, okay, so what does he do with that whole Braisa of Bechizke? He doesn't need Imimatze to Matze to teach you Reba Meet Reba, because he already knows it from the other pasuk. So fine, the words Imimatze to Matze we understand, as we previously explained it, it's coming to say that if he's made the beknas and then witnesses come, he's going to be exempt. Because only if he matze be'edim, then timatze be'dayanim. Avol, but what's still difficult about that pasuk is, in pasuk gimel over there, kalhani prati lamali. But why do you need all the specifics mentioned there in the pasuk? In other words, because if it's coming to exclude, as we mentioned before, karka and avadim and shtaris, but according to the man de Amar, that learns it out from the pasuk about kol dvar pasha, of a klal prati klal, where it talks about by the shemer over there, tain tan ganav. One of the two psukim over there is talking about the Ganav himself. So you already know the exclusionary halachas of karka, avadim, and shtaris. So why do we need the specifics over here in the pasuk if it's not coming to teach us anything? Because, okay, imimatze timatze you explained, but what's with the rest of the pasuk? The Gemara answers, you're right, because the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel, as is taught in the Brayos of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel called parasha shenemar v'nishnas. Any parasha in the Torah which was already said and it's repeated, was only repeated for one element, which is telling us a novelty regarding the halacha, which is we already know this halacha of ganav and toin tanis ganav that the chayv kevel according to that mandama. So what is the matzit matzi? Why do you repeat a whole pasuk telling us the same halacha regarding the halacha of kevel regarding a ganav? So it's only teaching you one new chiddush of himimatzi timatzi. Which if imatze be'edim, then timatze be'dayan, which again excludes if you might be knas, even if machiach be'edim, that you're going to be pater. But you're right, the rest of the pasuk, avshar, chamar, you're right, it's superfluous. The Torah does that. The Torah will repeat a whole halacha just to tell you one novelty regarding that halacha. Now, however, the Gemara now asks, according to that same man, the Amar, that the ve'im ganav atzmai, we should then say that the halacha of the ganav himself shouldn't pay kefil unless bishvua, that he swore falsely. Now, the reason why the Gemara is asking that question is that since those psukim of where it talks about a shomer, which is the halacha of toin tanis ganav, one of those psukim over there is the one that, according to that mandama, you're learning out the halacha of the ganav himself. So, just like a shomer, as we see from those psukim, is only chayiv. If he swears falsely, and then we find out that he really had it all along, then he's chayiv kevel. So, then the ganav himself should also only be, if he swears falsely, that I didn't steal, and we find out then he stole. How do you know the halacha applies, even if he didn't swear? So the Gemara says, Lo Yisakatayetach, you can't entertain that. Because the time you learn the Braiser, Yaakov Eimer, he says, the Pasuk in Shema, he says, this is that same Pasuk in Perchav Beis Pasuk Gimel that talks about the thief himself, says that if we find him, that in his hands, the theft, so the Pasuk concludes, Shnai Mishalim, he has to pay double, he has to pay kefil. Says Rabbi Yaakov, that Shaloi Bishavu, must be even without an oath. So says Rabbi Yaakov, Ato Eimer Shaloi Bishavu, do you really say that it's without an oath? Oyein El Bishavu, maybe it has to be with an oath. And that says, Rabbi Yaakov Amrit, you say, loy kachaya, that's not the way it was. So the Gemara says, my like kachaya, what is Rabbi Yaakov saying? What does it mean that that's not the way it was? So Amabai, he explains what Rabbi Yaakov was saying was, loy lichtev rachmanish naim yishal meganim. The Torah should not have concluded that pasuk by the thief that he has to pay double. Why? Because of leis bekavachimer, turn tens again, you can learn from a kavachimer, from a shimer who only just claims it was stolen from him. Why? Because Amad Toin Tanis Ganav. Because if you find halacha regarding a shomer who just claims it was stolen from him, and it turns out that he really had it all along, at least the bad Tera Asaliyade, when it came to him, this object, it came to him permittedly. It was given to him as a deposit to watch. And still, Amakar L'sham Trei, still the Torah says that when it's found out that he, quote, stole it, even though he didn't steal it, he got it permissibly, but just by claiming it was stolen, he has to pay double. So Ganav Atzmai, so regarding a thief himself, the Bisur Asliyadeh, which came to him in a prohibitive manner, he took it from someone without permission, like Kalshigan, isn't it a Kavachemer that he should have to pay Kefil? Elishnaim Yishalm, the Kaz Rachamana, Bekan of Atzma, Lomali. So why does the Torah have to say that he pays double by Ganav if you know from a Kaval Chaimer, from the more lighter Kal Halacha of 20 times Ganav? So therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, must be that what the Torah is coming to tell you is, why do you have to repeat Shnayim Yishalom? Is to tell you because that filish lebishvur, that even if without an oath, because that doesn't apply by a shemer, has to be with an oath, to tell you that a ganav is even without an oath. So that answers that question. Now, however, the Gemara now asks, according to both interpretations, both brises, whether it's both turning times ganav, or one's ganav, one's turning times ganav, the Gemara had a drasha for the words imimatzi timatzi. Either it's imatzi be'edim, timatzi be'dayanim, or it's coming to say a riba made a ribui, according to either one of the two brises. Ask the Gemara, v'hai imimatzi lahachi hudasa? Is this pasuk of imatzi timatzi coming to say, as we just explained, for either one of these interpretations, for that halacha? But you need it for a different halacha, which is taught in a different brisa. And again, because the pasuk says, it says imimatzi timatzi be'yada. It says that if you found a thief, they were looking at the detective and they find it in his hand, then the pasuk concludes, Shnayim Yishalom, the thief has to pay kefil, double. Says the Brisa, as you continue top of Samachim and Aleph, Ein le'eli yada. I would only know if we find it in his hand. Gagoy chatzir v'kafif v'minayin. How do we know the halacha applies of kefil, even if we find it on his roof, in his courtyard, in his open area? How do we know that the same halacha of kefil would apply? Tamalema says the Brisa, that's where the beginning of the pasuk comes to include with imimatzi timatzi mikal makim. No, it says, if you will find, you will surely find, what's those inclusionary terms, wherever you find it in his estate, in his property, in his domain, then he'll be chayiv. That's what you know from the words imimatzi timatzi. So ask the Gemara. So that's what you're learning from there, to tell you that no matter where you find it by him. So how can you say it's coming to say a ribu mit ribui, to include all the halachas of kefil by a ganav, or to tell you the halacha of maid b'knas v'achka b'eid and potter? What do you mean? You need it for this halacha? I think my answer is that's not difficult. Im Kain, if that would be the case, if it was only teaching us one of these two halachas, Lei Makra, the pasuk should have said, oi, either himatze himatze, oi, timatze timatze. It should have kept the uniform term. Midishani Kra, but the fact that when the pasuk changes, himatze timatze, from a hate to a tough, shemama notarti. From the change, you learn out two things. So the redundancy is telling us one thing, and the superfluosity of it, and the fact that it changes from one way of saying it to another way of saying it is telling us the other halacha. And therefore, that's why it's not difficult. Yes, it's teaching us the halacha no matter where you find the bayim, but additionally teaches, again, according to either one of those two prices, as we went through the whole calculations, either the halacha of imatze be'edim timatze be'dayanim, which excludes maydi be'knas v'achar bo'edim. According to the other one, it's actually teaching us the halacha of the ribu mideribu, which teaches the halacha of Ganav himself, that he's chayav and kefil specifically regarding davar metatl v'gufa imamen.